You have your Bibles this morning. Let's go to Revelation chapter 1. If you would, Revelation chapter 1 here this morning. Revelation chapter 1, if we would, we'll begin in verse 1 this morning. A little bit of reading. Revelation chapter 1, beginning in verse 1, it says, "The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants the things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and he signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that reads, and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Oh, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Every time I read that, "Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." That's the gospel right there. Amen. God's no respecter of persons. Oh, he loves me just as much as he loves you. He loves you just as much as he loves me. Amen. Hallelujah. And in verse 6, "And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Verse 7, "For behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him." Even so, amen. "I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is and which was and which is to come." Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. This morning's message, if I give it a title, "Every Eye Shall See Him." Every eye that's ever lived, that's ever been born into human flesh, the day is coming. Every eye that has ever lived and will yet live will see him. The eyes that I'm looking at you with will behold him one day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The eyes you're looking upon me with right now as I speak to you, those eyes will behold face to face the Son of God one day. You will look upon him who loved you and who gave himself for you. You will look at him. He will look at you. For the message this morning, every eye shall see him. Let's go before him this morning in prayer. Father, again, we're just thankful for the sweet Spirit of God that we feel in our house here this morning at Promised Land Church, Watertown, Wisconsin. We are thankful for those that have made the sojourn, even to come to church this morning, many coming from as many as 3 hours away this morning to be with us. It's our heart this morning that nobody leaves empty, that nobody leaves here today untouched by your word and by your Spirit. Lord, today, as we minister this word, help us to minister it in power and in truth. Help the pastor, the preacher this morning. Let him speak as the oracles of God. Lord, help us this morning, all of us. Open our hearts to your Spirit, to your truth. Lord, be with those that are on live stream this morning. Go with them, touch them, move on them as we have felt you move on us here this morning. Bless the children's church and the workers, Lord. Give them their portion in the Lord this morning. And this morning, everybody said amen, amen and amen. Every eye shall see him. There was a song way back in the 80s I used to listen to it quite a bit from a gospel artist by the name of Sandy Patty. Some of you remember her singing and just incredible music from, I believe, this gal who was spirit-filled, and that's why you could sense the anointing of God on much of the music. But she made a song popular. It was called "We Shall Behold Him," and the words are like this. It says that the sky shall unfold, preparing his entrance. The stars shall applaud him with thunders of praise. The sweet light in his eyes shall enhance those awaiting, and we shall behold him then face to face. Oh, we shall behold him. We shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. Oh, we shall behold him. Yes, we shall behold him face to face, our Savior and our Lord. The next verse goes like this. The angel shall sound the shout of his coming, and the sleeping shall rise from their slumbering place. Oh, there's a resurrection coming, my friend. There's a rapture of the church coming, my friend. Hallelujah. And the sleeping shall rise from their slumbering place. And those who remain shall be changed in a moment. And we shall behold him then face to face. The chorus again, we shall behold him. Oh yes, we shall behold him face to face in all of his glory. We shall behold him. Yes, we shall behold him face to face, our Savior and Lord. And we shall behold him, our Savior and Lord, our Savior and our Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to Jesus. I don't know about you. One day, I'm going to look upon him. One day, I will behold him. Amen. Not just to look upon him with my eyes, but to gaze upon him, to behold his glory and his majesty. Hallelujah. My friend, that day's not too far down the road. And I look forward to that day. Amen. Hallelujah. We shall behold him. Praise the name of Jesus. Glory to God. In our text this morning, the Word of God tells us in the beginning of chapter 1, verse 1, the revelation of Jesus Christ. The word revelation simply means this. It means to unveil something. It means that which was once concealed is now been slowly revealed. Amen? There is a revelation of the Son of God that has got to come to the heart of every believer in Jesus Christ. Amen? I'm here to say this morning, hallelujah, every believer needs a revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah? Oh, you didn't hear me this morning. Every believer within the sound of my voice, you and I need a personal revelation of the Son of God. We need a revelation of who Jesus Christ is. We need a revelation, an unveiling of the very Christ we worship and the very one we love. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. Hallelujah this morning. Amen. I can't put into words the emotion I feel when I share that with you. But we need a revelation, as every believer needs a revelation of Jesus Christ. And not only an initial revelation upon your salvation, but we need a continued unveiling of who Christ is to you and to me. Amen. Hallelujah. I just don't need to know who he was to me when I got saved, but I need an ongoing revelation of the Son of God every day of my life. Hallelujah. The Word of God tells me that Christ is the Word of God. Amen. And men are not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the heart or from the mouth of God. I'm here to say this morning, you and I, we have to again let our heart be tuned up and realize that you and I, as a personal heart of prayer, need to ask the Lord for a greater revelation of the Son of God. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank God we have been touched by Him. Thank God we have had a glimpse of Him. Amen? Hallelujah. I mean, as a boy, when I told you, 7, 8 years old, and I felt that wind blow on me in a way that was just weird. It was odd. It was different. But it was a little bit of an unveiling already at that young heart that there's a living God. Amen. And that there is a Savior. Hallelujah. That's what I love about the way of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit doesn't always put things into the words that you and I are clear. That's why He gave us another tongue sometimes to speak. You can't always understand, but we speak mysteries to God. Hallelujah. Those of you and I that are Spirit-filled, praise the Lord. Every believer this morning needs a fresh and a new revelation of Jesus Christ and a continued revelation according to the Scriptures. Amen. A revelation of Christ that is not founded in the Word of God is a false revelation, and it is a false Jesus that many in churches today are proclaiming. Amen. We have to understand, we got to be like Paul, where Paul prayed for the church. He would say it this way, he said that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, oh, may He give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, that you may know what the riches of His glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward, who believes according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in heavenly places. Amen. The believer, according to the Apostle Paul, Paul prayed for the church at Ephesus church. Number one, that God would give the believer more of a revelation in the knowledge of Him. Hallelujah. You and I need more of an understanding of who Jesus Christ is. Amen? Hallelujah. That we come to know the one that died for us in such a personal way. I always say it this way. When Jesus hung on that cross, He hung on that cross with your name in His heart. He foresaw you from the eternity past. He saw the day you'd cry out to Him and say, "Save me, Lord Jesus, from my sin." And Jesus Christ would know that time up in the future. The Bible says He suffered those things, knowing the glory that was yet to come. That glory that was yet to come was not His resurrection from the dead in itself, not His new glorified body, but that there would be those that would put their faith in His great sacrifice on the cross and believe on Him for their personal condition of personal sin, and have an understanding and a revelation of the Son of God this morning. Hallelujah. That they may be saved, that He may enter their book in heaven's book of life. Hallelujah. Enter their name in heaven's book of life. We need a revelation of Him. A revelation of Him. Hallelujah. You know, the early church, why it was so powerful, it preached Jesus. It preached Jesus. It just didn't talk about Jesus. Churches this morning, they're preaching about Jesus. It's good. It's not so bad in itself. But if we don't have a revelation in Christ, then we're going to preach about Him and not preach Him. We're preaching Him this morning. It began in our worship service, amen? As the Holy Spirit of God began to move in many of your hearts, hallelujah. That was Jesus moving in the midst of His church. That was Christ moving in the midst of your life. That was God visiting you and letting you know there's hope in a future. If you but know Him, walk with Him, love Him, and keep Him in your spirit, man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul prayed. Paul prayed. I pray that for Promised Land. I pray that all the time in my private prayer time. God, give us a revelation. Give us a revelation in Promised Land Church of who Jesus is. That every believer that comes to hear this word not get sick and tired and bored because all we preach is the blood and the cross in Jesus. No, we are preaching to you Christ. We are preaching to you the one, hallelujah, who's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the one who's coming again and looking for you. Hallelujah. I'm here to say, I pray, God, let our work not be in vain. Let the people not get weary with hearing about Jesus Christ. We're preaching to you Him this morning. His glory, the music backed up the message this morning. We are on holy ground. Not because this church is special, not because we're above others, but because we believe on Jesus Christ and Him crucified. We believe in the shed blood of the Son of God. We believe that we are to be saved by being born again, by putting our faith in Him. Hallelujah. And God can show up in that kind of a congregation. And He can do, God knows what He can do. Amen. The miracles, the power, the majesty, the glory that He can do in your heart and in your life. Friend, you need a move of God in your soul. Some of you have not been touched by God for years. But I'm here to say, if you'll but open your heart and spirit to Him, I want you to know He has never left your side. He has never forsaken you. But He's looking for the callousness, that calcium built up around your heart, man, that would break down that breaking up that fallow ground. Amen. And God can touch you again. Listen, the greatest thing, the greatest privilege we have is not just to know Jesus Christ, but it's to walk with Him and to enjoy Him forever. Amen. Amen. Like I shared with you beginning of service this morning, I felt the dealings of God from a young boy. Amen. You could fill in the blanks, because I believe many of you have had similar epiphanies or experiences, whatever you want to call, as God was preparing you to come to Him. Amen. Hallelujah. You say, well, I've not had any of that. Well, God's not done with your life either. Amen. Hallelujah. You can open up your heart and spirit and go out of here touched and changed by God. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the name of Jesus. Paul prayed that God would give them a revelation and the knowledge of Him, of Jesus Christ. He asked the Lord, God help them, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened. The eyes of their understanding. This is what we have to understand. There's a spiritual understanding that believers are to have of their walk with Jesus Christ. That's why to a true Spirit-filled believer, this is not a dead letter. This book is a living book. It lives, it breathes the Son of God. It speaks to me, it comforts me, it instructs me in the way to go. It tells me what to be careful of, what to watch out for, and where to put my faith and my hope and my trust. It's a living book. And I'm here to say, if you'll begin a word life, you'll begin a word life. Start in the New Testament, work all the way through, or start in the Old Testament, work all the way through. Read it systematically. Take a little time. Go as far as you're able in a day. If it's 2-3 verses, oh well, it's okay. If it takes you 5 years to get through the book, but get through the book. Get through the book, amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know why believers can't hear from God today? You're not in the book. Well, I can't hear the voice of God. I hear it as it speaks to me. Listen, there's mornings as I'm reading, I don't get what you call that thing jumping out at me like, wow, you know, the heaven shook and the earth quaked and, you know, the voice of God thundereth. And, you know, I wish it was like that all the time, but I can honestly say there have been moments in my relationship with Jesus Christ where I've trembled in His Word. I've felt the Spirit of God quicken it to my heart, and it has given me answers for things that I have been keeping before His throne of grace as far as prayer concerned. Amen. God, your answer's in the book. Your answer's in this living book. Amen. That the heart of your understanding would be enlightened. It tells us that without the enlightening of the Holy Spirit, we don't get it. We just don't get it. That's why I could stand at 15 years old in a church, Spirit-filled church, and watch all these Pentecostal, crazy people. And I just couldn't comprehend it. I didn't understand it. It scared me. Amen? Because the eyes of my understanding were not enlightened. To me, it was foolishness. But can I tell you about the humor of God? 10 years later, when He got a hold of my heart, the morning I got saved, I knew which church to go to. Amen. I knew where I was supposed to go. People say, you can't hear from God. Well, I knew, amen, hallelujah. And it was awesome. Now, I'm one of those putting my hands up, amen. There was a fella, his name was Jeff. Just like my name, praise the Lord. And he had been coming to church off and on. And he had not been yet filled with the Holy Spirit. So, but I know he had been saved and born again. And knowing him and his wife for a little bit and trying to encourage them in the Lord, because I was pretty new in the faith myself. Well, the worship service was going on. They just happened to be sitting next to me in the pew we were in. It was a building almost just like this in Fond du Lac there, right on National Avenue. It used to be the Fond du Lac Gospel Tabernacle, right across from Moraine Park there. Now they're on the other end of National Avenue down there, and they've got a big complex down there now. But in that time, the move of God was starting to happen as the worshipers were worshiping, and we were lifting our hands, and I could see he was wanting to put his hand up, but he was feeling a little reluctant. And so I thought, Lord, and I'm just worshiping God as we're, I think we were singing, I exalt thee. It was just a beautiful, like we sang this morning, just the congregation was just singing from their heart, and God's Spirit was moving. And I grabbed his cufflink as he was, and I grabbed it and I put it up with mine. As soon as he got it about halfway, it went like this, and all of a sudden it went, pew! I mean, he just shot those hands up, and I began to watch him speak in another tongue. I don't know how it happened, but his heart, hallelujah, he received an enlightening of his spirit, amen, hallelujah, that morning. Some of you, you're holding back when God says, just let it all out, amen. Yeah. Glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I've been before the Lord to where to go this year, as far as ministry of the word, and I feel that God is leading us back into messages dealing with the Pentecostal distinctives. Amen. The Pentecostal way. Because God wants every one of you spirit-filled, every one of you, not with any exception. He wants you to be saved, born again, go on to the infilling of the Holy Spirit, and then where Christ can continually be revealed to your heart and life in a precious way. Amen. Nobody left behind. Amen. Nobody left out. God wants all of you in this house, born again, spirit-filled. Amen? I've said it 1,000 times. This book was written, in the New Testament especially, from spirit-filled perspective. Every one of those authors, moved by the Holy Spirit, were born again, fire-baptized individuals, baptized in the Holy Spirit. And that's why it's a living book. Hallelujah. Men, as they were moved by the Holy Spirit, began to pen the Word of God, not understanding they were writing God's Word. So Paul's prayer for the church is that every believer would receive revelation in the knowledge of Him, that the eyes of their understanding would be enlightened, but that they would know the hope of His calling. To know the hope of His calling. It's a nice way of saying that people, the body of Christ, would realize and understand the depth and the purpose of their salvation. To know what it is, why they got saved. And to realize that God has an eternal plan for every believer that comes to Him by faith. Amen? That you and I would know the hope of His calling upon our lives. Amen? We just don't exist in a vacuum. We just aren't saved, spirit-filled, and okay, that's it. Now we flounder around and can't figure out where we're supposed to be in life. No, God wants you, according to the revelation of Jesus Christ, to begin to understand and to know the hope of God's calling on your life. Amen. Hallelujah. And friend, understand, not every one of us are called to the fivefold ministry. But we are all called to be an ambassador of Jesus Christ right where God has planted your life. Amen? That's where it starts. God isn't concerned about the big ministry you don't have yet. He's concerned about the little ministry you have in your own home, where you work, the family you've been put in, the marriage you're in. The family circle that God has put you in. And I know some of you go, oh man, oh, what a mission field. Now you're getting it. Yes, yes. God always puts a light in a dark place. Amen. Hallelujah. That you may know the hope of His calling. That you might know it. That means that it might be revealed to your heart and to your spirit. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And that you might know the riches of the glory of His inheritance. You and I are joint heirs of Jesus Christ this morning. That you might know, praise the Lord, the riches of His glory, of His inheritance. My God, dude, the glory of His inheritance. He saved me to bless me. He saved me to fill me. He saved me to empower me. He saved me that He, little by little, through His grace and His goodness and His mercy, may dispense out to me from time to time as I sojourn in this world the blessings of God through the riches of His inheritance, and that I would come to know the glory of it all. Hallelujah. That is from above. Hallelujah. It's not from man. It's from God. It's from God. From God. From God above. That's why when we preach, everything God has for you is in the cross. Everything God has for you is in the cross. It is in that finished work where He paid the price in full, and God His Father fully accepted His Son's sacrifice on the tree of Calvary. Hallelujah. God has a pocket full of miracles and blessings and future, how could I say, future happenings in your life that have yet to come to you. He will never allow you to plateau in your relationship with God. Well, I guess we've arrived. This is kind of it. We're just going to take the jacket off, throw it over the chair, and that's about it. Kick up my feet, and okay, I've arrived. No, 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 no. Hallelujah. You know, I thank God. I hope when I say it as careful, but you ever see Brother Swagger lately? 81 years old. That man, you can't stop. I hope when I'm 81 or 2 that I have as much energy as he does yet. And I hope my hand is still to the gospel plow. Amen. I ain't planning on retiring. Amen. If I can help it so. But we understand we all have a portion in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Because God's Spirit will still quicken your mortal body. Amen. Hallelujah. That we might know the hope, the glory of his inheritance. See, that was Paul's prayer. That you might not just recognize it, see it as it's dispensed to you on the platform of God's grace, but that you would begin to see. Well, yeah, but then why did this happen? Well, why did that happen? Have you noticed since that thing happened that you've seen the hand of God take care of you and help you and strengthen you from sources you never knew existed? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We shall behold him. Every eye shall see him. And then Paul's prayer for the church, that God would show his exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe. To usward who believe. Do you believe this morning? Are you in faith? Let's take it one step further. Are you in the faith? If you are in the faith, then God will show his exceeding power to you. That he would show his exceeding power to usward who believe. That's why faith is so powerful when it's in Christ and him crucified for you. Well, my faith is in the blood and it's in what the Son of God has done for me and I'm in the person of Jesus Christ. And I'm coming to know him and understand him. And I'm walking with him and I'm talking with him. In my spirit eyes, I've seen him. And I will yet behold him even with these natural eyes. When he becomes your preoccupation, when he becomes your passion for living, when what he did for you becomes your object of faith, then God will show his power to your life as you've never seen it before. His power. His power. That's why some of you are confused because Willie over here has a simple faith in Jesus, but it seems the man's always happy. He's always got a smile on his face. He's full of glory. He may not have much, but God meets all his needs. And then all of us that are working our shoes off, you know, we wonder why it's so hard. And then we got Willie over here who's just enjoying and believing what's already been provided. Amen. He's not all stressed out. He's not all coming apart at the seams. He's not biting off his fingernails. He has just found that simple place of faith. God loves me, for the Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me. He died for me. Man, that's my faith. That's my Savior. That's my King, my Lord, my God. Amen. And there's a power in that life. A power, a notable power in that believer's life. Amen. Hallelujah. We shall behold him. Every eye will see him. You see, revelation always brings about a reality of the person and work of Jesus Christ. That's why the world don't understand this. That's why a true born-again, spirit-filled individual can't be talked out of their experience in Jesus Christ. That's why some of us have been through broken marriages. Broken relationships. Half your family turning against you. 90% of those that work around you don't like you. And they will pressure you to deny Jesus Christ. Something in you says, though none go with me, I'm going to stay in what I know, what I believe. Even if I have to walk alone, I will walk with him in that nail-scarred hand, and I will not let go because he'll never let go of me. Hallelujah. I'm here to say, friend, the day's coming where you better get serious with Jesus Christ and stop worrying about what mama thinks and daddy thinks and Junior thinks and Susie thinks. And I say it carefully, and I don't say this with scorn, but some of you better start being careful, or how can I say it? You better stop worrying about what your own spouse is thinking. Amen? Your walk with Jesus Christ is a precious individual thing between you and the living God and the Son of God who paid for your salvation. Amen. Amen. And a true blood-washed child of God will love his or her enemies. Thinking about an individual this morning. Well, she was spiritual. So spiritual, she had to divorce her husband because, oh, he was hindering her ministry. I know the man. Amen. They were faithful to the house. He loved the Lord too. Oh, they had their problems. But so her ministry could go forward, she had to put him asunder. And I saw the kids as they had to grow up in the midst of all that. And then I saw, we just heard not too long ago, the one son divorced his wife now. See. Listen, there are times, I say this carefully, divorce is inevitable at times. There's nothing you can do about it except love Jesus Christ. But I'm here to say, when you are in Christ, the love of God is shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. And He will give you grace to endure. And He will give you the power until He can remedy it. Or if that thing is over with, God will preserve you. Amen. I'm very careful with that, having been through that. And I've also seen people staying in very, very abusive, physically abusive, very heavily emotionally abusive things. That, well, bless God, I better stay in it, better stay in it. And then you read about them in the obituary. Amen? Because half the church points a finger and says, no, you're locked to death to your part. Well, I guess death parted them, didn't it? That was not God's way. We need a revelation. A revelation. A revelation of Jesus Christ brings a reality of who Jesus Christ is. Remember Paul's conversion, the Apostle Paul? I love his conversion. I mean, you can't, I mean, that is a storyline for a Hollywood movie if there ever was one. Paul hated Christians. He hated Jesus Christ. Why did Paul hate Jesus so much? Because he was part of he was a Pharisee. He might even been one of the Sanhedrin, one of the leadership of Jews. He was in that group when they were all plotting and scheming to kill the very Messiah God had sent to Israel. They thought he was an imposter. They would not take his miracles and his teachings at what they were really proclaiming. And they thought, this man is trying to make himself God. He's blaspheming God. He's trying to do away with the law of Moses. And on and on and on. And that religious fervor began to build in his heart. And he hated Jesus Christ to the point where when they were going around saying, oh, he's raised from the dead, oh, he's raised from the dead, he goes, that's a lie. They stole his body and they hid it somewhere and buried it somewhere else. And that was what was going through that religious church at that day. And Paul thought, I'll roll up my sleeves. I'll put these Christians away. I'll get those people to stop talking about this Jesus. And he got letters from the high priest and he was on his way to Damascus. And he had, I'm sure there was a family or two that he had in mind, that I can't wait till I get there. I'm going to break this family up, have them hauled to prison. We might even stone a few. It's going to be a good day this Saturday, amen, in his mind. Well, he got about halfway there. Hallelujah. And out of nowhere, the Bible said Jesus begins to encounter him in a bright light. He falls off his horse. Others hear a voice. And then the voice comes, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for you to kick against the pricks." And Paul answers, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord?" Folks, can I say it this way? There are people you know that when you mention Jesus' name, they have a hatred for him, but they might be the next Apostle Paul. Amen? We can't limit the work of God, what God might do in that heart or in that life. Amen? If God got Paul's attention, he can get your relatives' attention, your co-workers' attention, your family's attention, hallelujah, your spouse's attention. I'm here to say, when we get a revelation of Jesus Christ, amen, as Paul did of old, then the very one scorning his name, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord?" See, Paul, Saul, had a revelation. In a moment. How do you put a script together with that? That moment, imagine Paul struck down off the horse. I mean, he's thinking about it. I mean, he's fuming, he's beat red. I mean, he can't wait to get to Damascus. You know, crumpling up those papers. He said, "Where are those papers?" "Oh, I got them in my hand. I ain't losing these things," with hatred in his heart. And in a moment later, he's going, "Who are you, Lord? Who are you, Lord?" Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, to see President Obama. Hallelujah. To see Vladimir Putin. Amen. "Who are you, Lord?" Paul had a revelation of Jesus Christ, and it changed his life forever. I go on to say, folks, when you get a true revelation of Jesus Christ, your life will change forever. It will change forever. And no one can talk you out of the graces of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you've had an encounter. You've had a revelation of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Oh, let me get this finished this morning. Praise the Lord. Revelation will bring a reality. Listen, in the fall of 1984, when I surrendered my life to Jesus Christ, I saw Him in my spirit. I didn't see a person, but I had a revelation of who Jesus Christ was. And He became my Savior, my God, and my Lord, like Thomas of old. Hallelujah. John would say it this way, "Which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and our hands have handled, the word of life." See, that was John, the Apostle John's understanding of his Savior. We've heard of Him. We've heard Him. We've seen Him with our eyes. We've looked upon Him. Our hands have handled Him, the word of life. Have you handled Him? Have you touched Him? Have you beheld Him? Have you seen Him? Amen. I'm talking about in your spirit. Has there been a revelation of Jesus Christ? Because if there's not, you, my friend, are a religious person, and I would question the very foundation of what you're trusting in for your salvation. Well, I'll take my chances, Pastor. Fool, fool, fool. You must come to know and to see, and to touch, and to handle the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. In your life. Amen. Hallelujah. Every true born-again believer needs a revelation of Christ that brings a reality to who He is. And also the revelation of Christ will also reveal to you and to me and to whosoever who He is. When Jesus would ask Peter, "Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am?" That's a question that every generation has to answer. Folks, who do you, as Peter of old, say the Son of Man is. Who is Jesus Christ? Who is He? Because who you believe He is will denote the quality of your life. Oh, He's God. He's the Son of God. Does your life radiate that revelation? Does your life prove to us? Does your life prove to whosoever will that you are a blood-washed child of the Most High God? Because when you see Him as God, as Paul saw Him, Paul was changed forever. Thomas, when he looked upon Him, put his finger in His nail print, thrust His hand into His side, all he could do was fall at His feet. And all he could say, "My Lord, my God, Your God, Your God." And tradition tells us that Thomas, I believe he's one of the disciples that ended up in India, martyred for the faith as they tried to boil him alive, preaching the One who he had a revelation of. Amen. Who do you say Jesus Christ is? Has He been revealed to your heart? Most churches this morning, you know who Christ is? A philosophy. It's something we do on a Sunday morning and can't wait to get out the door so we get to the tavern because a football game's on. To most today that profess to be Christians, it's Jesus Christ is their buddy. He's a good man. But He's not God to them. Who is He to you? And folks, you don't even have to answer that verbally because it will show in your countenance. It will show in your demeanor. It'll show in the things you do. It'll show in the way you talk. It'll show in how much you're able to love the unlovable. It'll show in your hunger for God's Word. It'll show in your church attendance. It will show in all things. It'll show. It will show. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God would show to His servants, of that which is shortly yet to come. Every eye will see Him. We shall behold Him. Revelation reveals who He is. Peter, who do you say that I am? Jesus said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Thomas would say, My Lord and my God. John the Baptist would say, And I saw and I bear record that this is the Son of God. The blind man who was the benefactor, he said, Who is He that I might believe upon Him? The blind man in John chapter 9, one of my favorite portions in the Gospels. A man who has a need. Jesus reaches out and heals him. He doesn't see Jesus immediately as he's washing those sooty eyes in the pool of Siloam, I believe it was. But he would be enlightened and he can see. And now the religious of that day are saying, Well, who healed you? I think a sinner did this. And they said, We know, and I mean, this goes on for a whole chapter. And finally, Jesus pulls his tunic and says, Son, who do you think I, the Son of Man, am? And he says, Where is he, Lord? Who is he, Lord, that I might believe on him? See, the beauty of God touching a life, healing that life, drawing out that life to Himself now, bringing that healed man through the skeptics, the religious crowd, even his own folks not fully standing up for him. I mean, he's saved for 3 minutes. And they're calling him a liar, an imposter, when this man from a child was probably laid on the side of their street begging for money. And he is healed. He asks that grand question, Who is he that I might believe on him? And Jesus, I believe, would answer and said, the one you're looking upon is he. If you can't find him, he will come and find you. If your heart is sincere, if you open in your heart, as you draw near to God, he will find you. He will reach out to you and reveal himself. Oh, I got to finish this. This is a heavy message this morning, but it's good. Amen. Amen. You don't hear preaching like this on TV too much. Amen. Amen. Liz and I, she went through that last night. I couldn't believe it. We ended up back on channel 344, but yeah, which is SBN. But when you think about it, I mean, nobody's preaching Jesus. They're all talking about him and different things and trying to sell their miracle water, the new improved miracle water, and the blood of Jesus, anointing oil, and all this other stuff. And then we got Jesse Duplantis and Mr. Kenneth Copeland telling the audience how God gave them their $20 million jets, private jets, so they can have a prayer life when they're going to meetings, and that the anointing isn't interfered with. You know, I'm a Christian. I know I have the love of God, but there are some people I just want to kick to the moon. Then I'll repent. Okay? Man. And you know why they're still on TV? Because people are writing the checks. And then the ones that are preaching the true gospel, they got to plead and plead and plead. Help us, help us, help us. We got the fruit. We're preaching the gospel. People are being saved, filled with the Holy Spirit. We're getting on almost half of the world's countries. Help us, help us, help us. Amen. You know, you hear, oh, that's all they want is your money. It's all they want is your money. You know, people that talk like that are people that don't give to the work of God anyway. Amen. And so I have nothing to answer that person with. Because when you're a giver, and you thank the Lord of a little bit of what he has given you that week, and you lay it up in store for the work of God, you won't have those kind of opinions. Amen? Amen? Amen. And if you can't give it cheerfully, keep it anyway. Don't want it. Don't want it. We'll watch you struggle. We'll watch you struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle and struggle. Mark it down. Put an envelope. Mail it to yourself 2 years from now. Stop giving to God and see if you're better off 2 years from now. Seriously. Think I'm lying to you. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Revelation brings a reality. Revelation will reveal who he is. Even the Roman centurion, upon the crucifixion of Jesus Christ, would say this. He said, surely this was the Son of God. Revelation will also reveal his glory in the transfiguration as they're up on a mountain. The Word of God says they saw him in his glory. They saw Jesus Christ as they've never seen him before. You know, let me just clarify this. It's been taught by different preachers, and I agree with them. But when Christ lit up on that mountain, when James, John, and Peter were up in the mountain with him, and he was talking to Elijah and Moses, and they said the glory of the Lord just illuminated the mountain there. That was not a light from heaven that put a spotlight on Jesus Christ and shone it down and lit up the mountain. For a moment, his glory was being revealed to James, Peter, and John. And the very person that he was, God in the flesh, God for a moment of time, allowed who Christ really was to shine through his garments. And it illuminated. My Bible says one day the Lamb will be the light of the city. Hallelujah. He began to radiate who he was. God allowed it for a moment. And it shook Peter so much, he said, let's make some tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses. He didn't know what to say. Amen. I'm here to say, the one who lives in me and lives in you, one day you're going to see him in his full glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will see him in his full glory. Hallelujah. Religion is not revelation. Nicodemus of old, religious leader of that day, even Jesus went to him and said, I'll paraphrase, without the new birth, Nicodemus, you can't even see. Without the new birth, without being born again, you're just from the outside looking in. You can't see, you can't perceive, you can't know, you can't have a revelation of who the Son of Man really is, the Son of God, unless you have been born again. Hallelujah. Paul would even say in his writings to Timothy, he would say they would have a form of godliness in the latter-day church. Turn away from them. Don't waste time with them. Amen. Pastor, why don't you go chase everybody down? You want to burn out a man. Try to get your little kid to eat when he's full. It's a waste of time. I know when to go after somebody as the Spirit of God deals with me. Most of them, they come, they hear, let God chew them up out there a little bit. One day, like me, 10 years later, I'll be back. I'll be back. Amen? Amen. You drag them to church, you get them here, you're going to have to drag them to church, keep them here. You want to ramrod somebody into salvation, you have to ramrod them into everything else to keep them there. Amen? What keeps you coming every week? What keeps you coming? Your relationship with Jesus Christ. Your love for the Lord. Your sensitivity to His Holy Spirit. Amen. Obedience to the faith. Amen. Well, who's telling you? Who's making you do that? You know, legalistic churches, you know, we always got cracked with the whip. 3 minutes late to a service and they'd embarrass us and say, well, look who's pulling in now. You know, things like, you know, oh, you know, the pastor preaches, you know, never be 10 minutes late for service thing, and you get rid of all your TVs. You better not have a TV and all that stuff. And that's pleasing God. You know, all that prohibition stuff. Listen, been through all that. Bought the T-shirt. Amen. Almost killed me. Amen. But I'm here to say, when you're born again and God has touched your life, like they do in China in the underground church, they will risk life and limb to get and gather with believers. Amen. 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 You know where you're supposed to be. And then when they're saved 40 years and they miss 3 weeks and they say, well, why didn't you call me, Pastor? You've been saved 40 years. Why wouldn't you call me? Let me know something's that you're not feeling good. I was missing 2 weeks. They never called me. They never knew I was missing. Well, sit out there a while. Amen. And when Jesus deals with that smart mouth and that foolish spirit and changes your baby diapers, spiritually speaking, you'll want to come to church, and you'll be glad that you're part of a church that preaches to you what I'm preaching to you. Amen? Half of you would say, Pastor, I'm so glad you said that. Oh, glory to God. There's two people in the world that can get by with saying that. Donnie Swaggart and Pastor Jeff. Oh, glory. Hallelujah. And my wife. Amen. You don't mess with her, I'm telling you. Amen. Praise God. She holds her own. Religion is not revelation. Let me close. Nicodemus was told, without the new birth, you cannot see. Paul said, when they have a form of godliness, turn away from them. God has to deal with them more. And then we have to understand, people that did not have a revelation of who Jesus Christ was, them were the very ones that crucified him. And you know, that has not changed to this very hour. The religious world still persecutes the one they claim to believe upon. How do they persecute him? For one thing, they don't believe you have to be born again. They change his precious work and his precious shed blood and atoning work on the cross. and turn it into a sacrament to where your heart doesn't have to be connected in. You just do the ritual and God sees it from heaven and says, good enough, you're in. Well, they don't say it in those words, but that's the way God looks at it. Amen. People blaspheme his name by changing the glory of God and saying that God can now accept without repentance towards God sinful lifestyles that are contradictory to Scripture. They tell us, oh God, every fornicator is going to heaven, every adulterer is going to heaven, every effeminate individual is going to heaven, oh, they're all going to heaven. Oh, even the devil will be saved one day. Well, you know, I won't even answer that. But I'm here to say, folks, we need a new revelation. Not a different one, but a fresh revelation of who Christ is, what Christ is, what he has done, what he will yet do.